Hi, I'm Shayla McCombs, and I'm a student at the French American School of Puget Sound. I started writing through my school, and it has since become a passion of mine. I'd like to share a short summary and excerpt of my story, The Flower of Sky. This is a story about the daughter of the sun and the moon, who meets a boy from the outside world on a search for his sister. On his path, he met a number of constellations who gave him rather frustrating cryptic advice. When he finally ended up in the Garden of the Moon, the daughter demands that he tell her a story. The garden was Ku's. She tended to it, spent much time in the place. But at least half of the work was done by the child, for quite literally anything would grow beneath Lemmikit's small hands. The garden was beautiful, with idyllic flowers opening, delicately placed just so, perfect hedges a rich dark green, old tall trees growing peacefully in the sun, lush vegetation giving just the touch of wildness about it, fountains spouting clear, fresh water glittering in the evening sun. A grove of ancient trees grew in the center. Ash, birch, blackthorn, cedar, elder, elm, hawthorn, hazel, holly, juniper, oak, pine, rowan, willow, yew. The silver birch was strong and slender. The elder had a touch of fay. The dark, silent holly waited. The ash burned low, a healing fire. The white-blossomed hawthorn, the old sweet pine, the smooth gold yew, the sweeping willow, and the oak, golden and kingly, crowned with leaves, grew tall and strong in the peaceful sunlight, with ivy, its faithful servant, twining dark round its base. The child gleefully hopped into the old woods, ignoring the other vegetation.
Hello, Isotuka. Hello, Isomanti. Hello, Isokuivu. Oh, there you are, Isotami.
She bounced onto the roots of the great oak tree, the great Tami tree. It seemed to welcome her, sunlight streaming through its leaves ever more brightly. The cat picked its way through the sacred woods, acknowledging the power of the great trees. He paused in front of Lemmikit, waiting for her to reach out for him, and leapt forward to the next root. She shrieked in laughter, giggling as she jumped after him. He continued the game and put his whiskers forward, smiling. Finally, she caught up with him and exclaimed, "I got you!" as she sat suddenly on her knees. He smiled tolerantly and purred, butting his head against her now dirty hands. They enjoyed the silence broken only by Leti Silmat's purring. The girl stroked his fur, still rather clumsily, and when he jumped into her lap, she squealed and clapped her hands in delight, then guiltily returned to petting him.
"Creak," the cat heard the gate warn him. "Squeak, squeal, creak."
He jumped up rather abruptly with a sudden sense of alarm and ran towards the entrance to the garden, the child stumbling behind him. What he saw was the ornate metalwork gate, with its twists and spirals not unlike the ivy twining up its sides, being pushed slowly open by an older boy, perhaps 15, dressed in odd, close-fitting clothing, and with strangely short brown hair. He looked up at the sounds of Lemmikit stumbling through the brush after her cat.
"Kitty, where?"
She saw the boy and stopped.
"Oh."
The boy and the girl stared at each other, mouths wide for a moment. Then the girl spoke to him.
"What are you doing in my garden?"